You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
You're listening to The Archaeology Show. TAS goes behind the headlines to bring you the real stories about archaeology and the history around us. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to episode 332 of The Archaeology Show. This is Chris Webster, and today we have a special episode. We're starting something new on the Archaeology Podcast Network, where a few of us, people who are sort of in management of the podcast network, that's myself, Rachel, and Tilly, our social media coordinator, and then Ash, who does our producing. And they also host podcasts on the Archaeology Podcast Network. Well, we are starting something called Journal Club that we're going to do about once a month. We're doing it live on our Discord channel. So if you want to find our Discord, go check our socials and you can join that for free if you want to see this live. Otherwise, here is the audio from that, and it's largely unedited. We've taken out a little bit at the beginning and the end, but it's largely unedited. So check this out. And what Journal Club is basically we bring an article or two or three, depending on what time we have, and we just all kind of talk about it. We talk about what the article is. We give our thoughts and our feelings and all of that stuff about the article. So it's kind of what we do on TAS, but a little longer format and more of us talking about it. So that means more opinions. All right. So check out this first episode of Journal Club. And next week, we'll be back with some news stories. Thanks. All right. Well, welcome to the first episode, show. I don't know, whatever we're calling it, recording of the APN Journal Club, or is it the Archaeology Journal Club? What are we calling this? APN Journal Club?
APN Journal.
Okay.
APN Archaeology Journal Club.
Right. And I did see, I don't think I clicked into it, but I did see a comment on one of the social media channels. Somebody said, are you guys writing down things or something like that? They said, are you writing? Like, we're journaling. Like, it's a journaling club. Oh, and I was like,
that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. Then we should get Jonah Schlegel back on, who was on for our graffiti episode for MY Trial, because she does a lot about archaeojournaling. And like, that's very cool.
That would be cool. We should do a zine.
Yes, we should.
I heard that comment and I thought, oh, okay, maybe we have to fix this and, you know, come up with a different name so people aren't confused. Yeah. You two are like, let's start another podcast.
That's kind of what we do.
How we avoid
all right.
life.
Yes. That's right. So if you're listening to this on Zencast, if you're listening to this on Discord, which if you're not on Discord and you're watching this on YouTube or somewhere else where you found it, please join our Discord. You can find it on our socials. You can find it on our webpage, our homepage at archpodnet.com. But it's free. You don't have to be a member to be part of the Discord. And Discord's free as well. So you can just jump in there and you see all these little live events that we do and have discussions and things like that. But Journal Club is to discuss journal or news articles and just our take on things. It's kind of like what we do with the Archaeology Show, except with more people, right? So we figured it would be more fun and to get more opinions and things like that in there. Yeah. So let's do some quick introductions, very quick. Who are you? Where are you calling in from? And what podcast do you do on the APN? Tilly, we'll start with you.
Hi, my name is Matilda Siebrecht, otherwise known as Tilly, depending on how educational or entertainment focused the podcast is that I'm on. And I am currently based in Germany, in Europe, means it's a little late for me now, but, you know, that's fine because who needs sleep when you can do Journal Club? And I host Tea Break Archaeology along with my new co-host coming up, which you'll find out about in 2 weeks. So you're getting a special little insight there now, Jessica Van Dom. And I also co-host Am I Trial with the wonderful Ash Airy, who is coming up.
Hey. Nice. And Ash, why don't you go next?
My name's Ash. Hey, I don't go by my full name, so I'm just Ash. I co-host Am I Trial with Tilly. I'm based in Scotland on a very little, well, not a very little island, but an island. So it's quite difficult and it's quite late for me too. And that's basically what I do really, is I just sidekick with Tilly basically my whole life.
Yeah.
Sidekicking with Tilly. Yeah.
And you're all mysterious, just going by your first name, not your whole name. Eventually, I think Ash is just going by the Celtic knot symbol. I think
it's just the rune that I've got tattooed on me. That's it. Right. What's your name?
That's your
rune? Yeah. Thank you. That's just me. No.
Nice.
Perfect. I'm just checking because it appears that someone couldn't hear me on the Discord.
Yeah, I was just getting distracted by that.
Now. Hopefully. Well, if not, then maybe.
Okay.
Oh, Yeah, working now.
Cool.
Okay, great.
Okay, good. Good.
Okay. Cool. You missed my amazing intro, Valter, but you know who I am already, so it's fine.
And if you are watching this on Discord, since we're recording this in another platform, maybe we'll figure out some other ways to do this later, but we can't have our videos on both of them. So the recording platform will have the video and the audio, but Discord just has our audio, which is why I'm going to say there's somebody sitting next to me who you've already heard, and she's not, since we're literally in the same room together, she's not logged in into her own login. So, so go ahead.
Okay, so I'm Rachel Roden, wife to this guy sitting next to me, Chris. But we do the archaeology show together in our North Carolina, which is where I'm from. It feels weird to say that. We just moved here. We just bought a house here. We had been traveling for the last like 6 years, but here we are in North Carolina in
That's right. All right. And I am Chris Webster, one of the founders of the Archaeology Podcast Network and host of many shows, but currently co-host of the Archaeology Show with that one over there. And
that one.
He's pointing at Rachel, by the way.
People can't see that. He is pointing.
Yes. And
how long have you been doing podcasting for, Chris? Audio format and
Well, it was it was before the APN started, so I think it was 2011.
I think she's trying to say you should know better.
Shush. Yes. So anyway, all right. Well, so we're going to get into this. We've got a handful of articles. We don't really have a time frame or a real structure for this show. It's just a fun thing we thought we could do once a month or so, maybe more often if we feel the need for that. And Tilly, I think we're just going to start with the, since you were the first one to post an article, why don't we just start with your article? Because it's actually kind of cool. And I love paleoanthropology and anything to do with paleo early stuff. Human. So yeah, early human things. So why don't you go ahead and introduce your article? And by the way, any articles we talk about, we will include the links to these for the in the notes for the wherever whatever this becomes and wherever it gets loaded up. We'll just include the links in the notes so you can go check it out.
I've got actually as well the is that in there?
No. I've just put the two articles into the Discord.
The original article I've just posted in as well, because I realized that the one I posted, you can't actually read the whole thing unless you have a subscription to New Scientist, which I didn't realize until I was halfway through reading it and then was like, oh. So I managed to find the original article. So it is called Enamel Proteins from Six Homo Erectus Specimens Across China. It has a lot of authors who I'm definitely not going to be able to pronounce correctly. The lead author is Fu. Hopefully I have pronounced that correctly. You can't hear me again on Discord. 1 second. Okay, I really don't know what's happening with that.
You can't, Walter, you can actually turn people up as well. If Tilly's low, you can change her settings slightly. Maybe that's it, because she was quite low when we started. So it could be that. Now? If you click on her picture, you should be able to change her user volume.
Hello, hello. I've checked and my microphone is working.
Sounds fine on Zencastr side.
And it was working before. That's really
I don't think
weird.
It's your microphone. It would be a Discord problem, if anything.
Yeah. And I can see my microphone lighting up on Discord for me. So.
I mean, I have muted you. That didn't mute you for everybody, right?
No.
No,
he said he could hear me again at some point.
Yeah, true.
Oh, he's typing again. Maybe he's saying, actually, never mind. I can hear her now. Oh, no,
200%.
That's very weird. Maybe I'll just very quickly leave the thing and come back in. Sorry, this is going to screw up the recording, but I'll just...
That's fine. Live recordings.
It is interesting because like I can see us lighting up every time we talk, but Tilly was not lighting up for us at all. Mm-hmm.
It's because she's muted for you.
Oh,
so you won't see her.
Okay, that's part of that. All right.
Okay, someone needs to invite me to the stage.
No, not doing it.
I want to speak.
You requested it too, Tilly. My gosh.
Okay, hopefully you can hear me now. Hopefully. Hello, hello, hello.
Yes!
Okay. Let's quickly talk about this article. Okay.
Yes.
I'll just quickly start again from the thingy. So the article that I'm talking about is by a bunch of authors. The lead author is last name Fu. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the first names. I apologize sincerely to all of the authors of this. It is based in China. That is why I am avoiding any culturally insensitive pronunciations. So it is entitled Enamel Proteins from Six Homo Erectus Specimens Across China. And I am always a bit of a sucker for anything to do with paleoanthropology and paleobiology, because I really enjoy human evolution and all of that kind of thing. But I admit, so I originally found this article by just reading sort of more of the popular science articles. When I tried to read the actual scientific article, full disclosure, I have absolutely no idea what they're talking about.
It is so dense. I read the article and then I started trying to read this and I got through the abstract and I was like, okay, that's good.
Oh my gosh.
Like, that's as far as I can go.
It's so interesting, must say. Yeah. Very interesting. Amazing research. Yeah. But to be perfectly honest with you, I can't tell whether it's good research or not, because I'm not sure what exactly are all of the things that they're talking about. But basically, to put it very, very simply, they're looking at different kinds of, what is it called? Hang on, I made a note of it. Amino acid variants. So they're using paleoproteomics. So it's basically, usually you would use obviously some sort of DNA analysis when you're looking at ancient fossils and things like that. But they don't usually survive, obviously, in the archaeological record for that long. So this time they've used paleoproteomics to analyze ancient tooth enamel proteins. And they're looking at very specific amino acid variants within that protein in order to make connections between ancient hominin species. And the particular hominin species that they've made a connection with are Homo erectus and now Denisovan.
Some people say Denisovans. I say Denisovans.
Yeah, we've always said Denisovans.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, which Denisovans have always been really interesting anyway, because they are like, they're sort of an offshoot of Neanderthals in a way. Mm-hmm. They're not really an offshoot of Neanderthals. They're like a cousin of Neanderthals. Mm-hmm. But so they're also one of our like closest related species, hominin species, and they were sluts, basically, is
what really?
all of the research that is coming out about Denisovans shows that they were basically interbreeding with every other hominin species.
That's there's nothing wrong with it. No slut shaming in this house. Absolutely not, Tilly.
This article is basically just another proof of that.
Good for them.
A brand new species. So not only were they potentially interbreeding with Neanderthals, even with potentially Homo sapiens has been shown by some studies, but now this one shows that they were interbreeding potentially with Homo erectus. So yeah, which is quite interesting.
You would if you could.
Yeah, right, you know. So and of course all these sites are in Asia, so that's where the sites have particularly come
and
from.
And the lead article.
We're doing the mic.
Oh, sorry. The lead author, Fu. He's in China, or she. They're in China. Yes. So I thought it was interesting that in this article they did try to get, you know, a request. They requested an interview and got no response from them. So in the New Scientist article they said that they just said they just didn't respond to requests. So because the New Scientist article is interesting because they're. I wouldn't say they're criticizing their research. They're just also presenting other theories for what their findings were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like your interpretation, though, Tilly, when you're reading scientific articles. In the New Scientist article, it says in that when the protein variant was introduced into Denisovans, a.k.a. they were sluts. That's what that means. Introduced.
That's what we're calling it from now on. That's what the kids.
That was a pick. That was a. That was a pickup line back then. They were like, "Can I introduce you to this protein?"
They were like, "Hey, look up! Here comes a bunch of Denisovans. We're gonna get late tonight."
I'll just pick up line.
I know.
I'm sorted for next February. We've got the APN Valentine's specials coming out about all about this. But exactly, I mean, this is the problem. And this is why I wanted to look through and find a bit more information from this article. But I just was getting so confused and tied up in knots. And it's hard to know based on the conclusion that they come up with, like whether the results actually prove that conclusion or not, because I just really struggled to actually understand all of the stuff they were looking at.
Yeah. But it does say at the end of the scientist one that, that basically it's like an early days of protein analysis, isn't it?
Sure.
So like we don't really know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and the thing too is what they found were teeth, right? And this is what we're talking about. And I think it says in the New Scientist article the teeth were found isolated. So
not in a skull.
So it's like
not in a skull, right?
It's like just teeth. Yeah. And and in my earlier days when I would used to read all the books on paleoanthropology and things like that, there are whole entire branches of the tree that were defined based on teeth. And it's just I don't know. They seem pretty confident in determining new species with teeth until we start finding more and more and more and more of them and we're realizing, hey, there's a lot more variation here than we previously thought. Right. So, teeth are
actually something that was, I mean, this is funny, actually, whenever I teach human evolution and then you're basically saying, so we have three examples of bones from this species and this is all the stuff we know. And the student's like, wait, what? Like, really? We have three bones and that's what it is. There's also actually with moving from, it's a lot, but you have to like extrapolate from what you're given. And it's so interesting that like in, so coming from a European archaeological background of my like, education where you're told like criticize everything, like question everything, never ever believe that like this is the full story because there's just so much everywhere and so many new theories and so many new things. And then for my PhD I did Arctic archaeology in America, or like not Canada, I was about to say Canada, Jesus, but North American archaeology, let's say that. So and especially Arctic archaeology, because we have relatively few material remains in comparison to like sites in Europe, for example, or in other places, just because of preservation and preservation bias and all that kind of thing. And the amount of people who are doing excavations, the amount of material that has just been found over the years, so much more is said based on a much smaller sample size. But whenever I spoke with my European colleagues, they were always like, wait, what? But no, that's not, that's too small a sample size. And it was like, well, no, like, that's what we have.
That's what you're working with.
Like, we have to say something. Like, you can't just be like, well, you know, no. So yeah, I always found that quite interesting. And especially when it comes to human evolution and looking at those.
Yeah. Things. Oh yeah.
Well, and that is kind of one of the criticisms that I guess John Hawkes is saying in the New Scientist article, that he seems to think that they are not Homo erectus at all, the teeth. He thinks they're just Denisovans, and his reasonings for that is because they don't have any Homo erectus examples that date to this time period in this place. So there's no like examples to compare them with. So that's his particular criticism of this, of the study.
And that actually relates to something that someone in our live Discord event that we're just talking about has commented, which is, it's not like a new species suddenly appears. It's just evolution and thus a whole set of variety within the same species. And that's absolutely true. Like you'll have one species existing for like 1.5 million years. We've only been around for like 350,000 years or whatever it is. So it's, you know.
Look at the damage we've done.
I know. And that's the other thing to note about evolution too. It's not like, you know, a Denisovan and a Homo erectus gets together and out pops something else, right?
Exactly.
Like that's not that's not how that works, right? It takes many generations to actively call something else a new species. But we paleoanthropology thrives on one principle, and it's that they're not finding a unique example of something. They're finding a common example of something because of the lack of material that's out there. They're like, well, if we find one set of, you know, jawbone with teeth in it, this has to be a common example of this species, because what are the chances we'd find the one-off? You know what I mean? The transition species or something like that.
Yeah. But that has happened so often in the past, which is what's really fascinating. Like I can't remember, I wish I knew this off the top of my head, but I can't remember, but there is one hominin species that the first one that was found was like, so had some sort of disease, and they only realized that when they found the second one, and then were like, oh, actually this is not normal. Like, and you have like a really famous example of like Neanderthal skull, the it's really old person, and basically their teeth have all fallen out and it's all completely the jaw has you know, like gone in on, it's caved in on itself, which is what happens when you lose your teeth, which is very interesting because it showed that they cared for their elders, which is also very exciting. But if you would look at that and be like, oh, this is weird, you know, but then you have to know oh, okay, it's not, it's an older version or a younger version. Mm-hmm. You know? And so a lot of the ones of Homo erectus even actually, and Hodel Heidelbergensis were quite young, the earliest skulls that they found. Yeah. And so it was really difficult to assess like, what size are they when they're grown up? Because like, when do they reach maturity and all of this kind of thing? So yeah, that was quite, always a lot of.
Yeah.
But knowing that, for sure. And knowing that this protein research is in early days is actually kind of exciting, right? Because it can only get better from here, you know, like maybe this research isn't like 100% perfect right now, but you know, we can only go up from here, right?
So and there's so many other scientific methods that happened with, right? At the beginning, everyone was like, oh, this will never catch on. Like radiocarbon dating, who's going to do that? And then, you know, now it's like standard procedure every single site. So,
True.
So really, the moral of this story is let's not slut shame before we know about the protein. Okay. Come on, guys.
I don't think they should have been ashamed to be called a slut, to be honest. Like, I think they would have been.
I think you're being very harsh to them. I mean, just having a good time. There's nothing wrong with that.
The word slut, like, it's not a derogatory term necessarily. It just describes someone who's had multiple relations with multiple people.
And listen, in modern times, even the past maybe several thousand years, slut is kind of a derogatory term, right? It just depends.
Yeah.
But hey, the Denisovans, we don't know what they thought about that term. So,
we don't know what they thought at all.
If you weren't a slut, maybe it's like, oh, wow. You know,
I know. But you haven't made it with a Homo erectus yet? Are you been erect, bro? No.
Society. Well, and the question is whether they would have even necessarily identified that these were different species.
Yeah.
Or, oh, yeah. Like,
would they have thought that it was a different species?
Yeah.
Would they, how different were they culturally?
Well, yeah. Maybe that's why there's a bag of teeth alone.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll show you.
That's like, it's like, yes.
Well, but they had that study where they dressed up a Neanderthal. Like, they made someone into basically a Neanderthal, and then they dressed him up in a suit and put him on the subway in New York, and no one batted an eyelid. Like, because actually, physically,
they're
not that different. There's no difference. There's hardly any difference at all.
I'm not sure a New York subway is the best place to do that experiment, though.
That highlights the point, right?
Like, it does.
Homo sapiens has so much diversity in it.
Yeah. Like what's send him down a street in small town Kansas, see if anybody says anything.
I mean, send me down the street in small town Kansas, and I'll probably be like, "Oh, what? She's a witch." So I wish I could say more about this article. I was really hoping to like be able to provide an in-depth like scientific discussion, and then now I'm like, actually, I have no idea. But indeed, I'm interested to see how this progresses. And it is also fun to see how many different scientific articles are coming about, like ancient species. So, because we know very little about them.
You know, it's so funny because I feel like we have an article on TAS every other week that's about Neanderthals or Denisovans or both Homo erectus, all of it. Yeah. Like, it's just, there's just so much research going on. It seems like a really rich field to be involved in right now because there's so much going on.
Well, and it's as they start developing out this protein research too. Be interesting to see how many reclassifications there are when people start going back to older collections.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, there's so much debate even now about like the Homo florentiensis, whether it's like just dwarfism of a Homo erectus or whether it's actually its own species or whether it's all this stuff. And like, there's so many ones where they made them into, especially the Australopithecus species, where they made them into their separate species and then we're like, actually, never mind. Like, they're all just one species and everything. And like, I remember when teaching, it's funny. So someone's just commented about species in the Discord chat. Like, we were learning about speciation and, you know, genes and all that kind of stuff, which I was like, I'm not a biologist. I don't know this. But it was fine. We worked it out. And, you know, the sort of classic biological definition of a species is to, you know, creatures that interbreed and do not like produce a offspring that can, oh God, what's the word? They can have babies. What's it?
Produce? Infertile?
Infertile. Yes, thank you. Yeah. Basically, you reproduce, you produce a baby, but that baby is infertile. That suggests that those are separate species. That's the like biological definition. However, technically then, Denisovans, Homo erectus, apparently, could interbreed and like Neanderthals and all these things. So there's all these kinds of complicated, it's also complicated, basically, in biology and in especially paleobiology. And nothing's ever pure and simple. Can I introduce a Terry Pratchett quote?
Oh my God. You guys were coming.
He has this amazing theory called Lies to Children, where it's like if you are a child in primary school and you learn about the colors of the rainbow, right? And like what they are. And then you learn that a rainbow is formed by the sunlight reflecting through raindrops, and that creates a rainbow. But that's actually a lie to children. It's not technically incorrect, but it's not the whole story. And then when you get to high school, you learn that actually the refracted light is due to this thing and this thing. And it's actually only what we perceive in our eyes and not the light itself. And then you go to university and they're like, nah, forget everything you learn in high school. Like, I feel like everyone in their first year of uni was just told, oh no, forget everything you learn in your like last couple of years of high school. Because this is actually how it is. And it's just this progressive working out how complicated things are. So lies to children, I feel like. The speciation thing and everything is cool.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I like that quote. That's very true. That's a good one.
So that was my journal club contribution for this week.
All right. Well, the other article that we've got is one that I found, and I read this over the weekend, and I didn't actually kind of realize until I popped it in here that we had two articles that were basically kind of talking about DNA and, you know, just that kind of that kind of research, right? I know. And I feel like this is another Lies to Children situation, actually, now that you're saying that, because anyway, this is from Science Daily, and it says it's called Ancient DNA Reveals How Women Helped Transform Prehistoric Europe. So, but another thing, and we see these all the time, we read these news articles, right? And it says in the little subtitle here, Ancient DNA Reveals a Surprisingly Dynamic Europe, where marriage, migration, and cultural exchange reshaped populations long before recorded history. When are we going to stop being surprised? I know. When will we stop being shocked that things are more complicated than we think they are?
What got me about this article was the fact that they were so heavily reliant on marriage, as if we knew that existed. Like, I was like, oh yes, they were definitely intermarried. I was like, do you know what a Belbika like marriage ceremony is? Because I sure as hell don't. Like, what do you mean? Like, how do you know it was marriage? How do you know? You don't. So it just, I was like, feels a bit.
Yeah, this whole article
washing over just, something going on.
It's like a little bit sus, because up at the very top, it says that the source is from the conversation.
Yeah,
which is a different like media publication, right? So like they just repurposed from one to another.
It's not even the original one. And this is why we often will talk about whatever we saw first on TAS on the Archaeology Show, because this is what people are seeing, and they don't necessarily dive in. Because Tilly, you found an article, and I saw the same article on some other thing or something like that, but then actually dove in because we're archaeologists, and you went to find the actual paper,
the original source, which is here.
The original source. Yeah. And I mean, that's what we do, but sometimes those are hard to read. So then we read these articles, and this is what everybody else is reading. Yeah. And then they're like, archaeologists were shocked, you know, and things like that. I don't think these researchers were probably shocked.
No.
Maybe a little more surprised than they would be normally. I don't know, maybe, but either way. Yeah.
Also, the like whole thing, it was on like women are actually quite important and they married into each other. Whereas the title of the original article is Lasting Lower Rhine Moise Forager Ancestry Shaped Belbika Expansion. Like, there's nothing about
nothing about
that. And also, they have in Europe descendants of Western Anatolian farmers mixed with local hunter gatherers. Like, that's a lot more, you know.
That's the other sort of theme that we see in news articles too, is people being shocked how big a role women play in things. It's like, you don't think they were just sitting there in the hut going, where's my next meal, right? Like, there's a whole lot.
This is a thing, because AI has done, you know, work on Google and stuff. When I was looking for a bit more information on this, I can't remember what I typed in, And then it said there was a question. Do you know when like it gives you a question that you can click down? And it was like, what was women's role in hunter-gatherer society? Underneath it said women's role was to rear children and gather. And I was like, what is this, Google?
Yeah.
What do you mean? It was like men predominantly hunted. And I was like, that's so incorrect. Yes, Tilly, get the book out.
Yeah, the book
out. She's getting the gender stereotypes in archaeology. Yeah.
It is a fantastic book. It is free to read on Sidestone Press. Carlson, who, if you're listening in, who's the main guy who runs Carlson Sidestone Press, please give me more books for free if you've seen
it. And me, please. Like,
no, but it's free. Sidestone Press is fantastic, by the way. They're based in the Netherlands. Yeah. They're like, Carlson, who's the one who started it, is an archaeologist. Worked in the same lab as me, so I knew him, which was kind of my brag.
I love that.
He basically started Sidestone Press because he was getting sick of like open access things and all this kind of stuff, and he wanted to create one that was more for archaeologists. So of course you have to pay to publish in it. It's a whole thing, but like there's quite a few like this one that you can just read for free. You can read pretty much all of them online for free. Some of them you can download the PDFs of like whole books for free, and all of this kind of stuff. And this is one where quite often if you order a couple of books from them, you might get this included for free in your thing. But anyway,
amazing. Okay, we're gonna need that link because I definitely want to check that out. Yeah. I'm very interested in that book.
We'll put it in the show notes or whatever for anyone.
Yeah, show notes. It's already in the Discord if anyone wants to look at it. Tilly also sent me it.
There's very things good. All only women cared about children in past societies. Katharina Nibe Salisbury, who actually was a guest on one of our Culturo Share events talking about motherhood in archaeology.
Yeah. So, nice.
She talks about, you know, common misperception of societies, you know, is it sole responsibility of caring and all this kind of stuff. There's some really interesting, so it's basically a bunch of short articles from different people, and they've got beautiful illustrations and everything. So.
Lovely.
Would recommend if people want a nice little accessible thing. Anyway.
You know what it feels like this article is doing? Because there is stuff like that book coming out fairly recently. I don't know when it was published, but I'm sure it was fairly recently. And then there's other really great research coming out about just our changing perception of women's roles in past ancient societies. All of them, all around the world. It's happening everywhere. And it feels like this article is just kind of like trying to jump on that bandwagon a little bit. Like, oh, that'll get us some clicks if we throw in like rewriting women's roles and then people will read it. So
A little annoying. It's also the dropping of like the, what is it, like corded wear? Corded wear.
Yeah.
And I'm always, whenever it's something like that, I'm a bit like, okay.
Yeah.
You're trying a bit too hard.
They're using like the archaeology buzzwords to like.
Yeah, the bell beaker people. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Are they people? We don't know. I was going to be like, I'm surprised they haven't mentioned Stonehenge, but they do at the end. They do mention Stonehenge.
Yeah.
Obviously.
You have to. It's just.
It was women.
It's required.
Women built Stonehenge. Oh my God. Yeah.
But they do talk about corded wear within the article, but like, it's the sort of, Speaking, by the way, about, I have another recommendation, which I have also. Did I send it to you, Ash, the Patriarchs? I think I did as well. Basically,
yes, you did. I have it.
whenever I have a great book, I don't have a physical copy, but like it's also very good. And I can't remember now who wrote it.
I've got it.
I've got it.
Just lean.
The Patriarchs. We can edit this out, right?
We don't edit these. They just go in there. Your unedited glory.
Angela Saini. I'm so sorry, Angela Saini, because you're definitely listening into this. But I have been like, I think I should also get free copies of this book because I have told literally every person I know about it since reading it. It's basically talking about why is patriarchy the norm? Like norm quotations in the modern day, like what actually happened in in ancient history? What changed? Because actually, there is no evidence that it was patriarchal in the past. Like,
Right.
Really.
Right.
If you go back to a certain point, like there's why it's just assumptions. It's just us assuming as well, us, it's mainly the 19th and 20th century archaeologists who are assuming about all of these things.
Their
and
then
those assumptions have just been perpetuated. Yeah. But even when reading it, like they were talking about, she was talking about these different societies that are matrilineal, which is not, it's not that matriarchy is the opposite of patriarchy, that like women are in charge. It's just that the focus is on the female line. So then it's rather than women moving away, which is what they're talking about in this article, which is quite interesting, rather than women moving away and going to like new communities, it's the women stay within their own community. And then the idea is that that then makes it a bit more secure for women, because one of the easiest way to alienate and isolate a woman is to put her away from her support network and in a new place. Mm-hmm. And that makes it a lot easier to dominate her. Whereas with men, it seems to be less possible, like less possible to do that in a lot of ways. There's all sorts of sociological and psychological studies about it that she talks about as well. But then, yeah, she was talking about like these different societies that exist in the modern day or until like relatively recently. And then she says, and people have studied them thinking, oh, what, why? Why are these societies like this? What happened to make them like this? And that's not the question we should be asking. The question we should be asking is like, why is it patriarchal? Like, why is this the norm? Yeah. And even me, like, I feel like I'm a feminist. I'm a strong, independent woman in the modern day. And even I was like, oh, yeah, shoot. Like, I was just thinking that. Like, I was just thinking, what happened this? So, yeah.
It's really hard to, like, shift your brain to stop thinking about why are they different from us to why are we different from them? Yeah, that's an interesting shift. It's hard to make.
So, it was very interesting. So would recommend if anyone wants to read it. Oh, it's a very good book. But it made me rethink the world and made me very angry at the world, but also like, you know, anyway. And yes, indeed, as someone has just commented on the Discord, it's mainly because early archaeologists were always that, you know, living in a very
antiquarian,
patriarchal society.
Yeah.
Does seem like mid-century, last mid-century, you know, Britain almost was just like incredibly heavy into patriarchy, even though they're ruled by a queen, right? So I don't know where that came from, but like everybody else was like, well, my son is going to inherit this, or I'm going to hand this title down to this person. And they were the ones doing a lot of the, you know, the initial research, just because they were getting funded to do it. And it was just developing over there quicker.
Well, it was like gentlemen. And,
yeah, the whole gentleman thing. But yeah. And it's just, it's crazy because, and then you have this pedigree of thinking that happens, right? When these people become professors and they teach their kids and their kids, their students, and then students teach their students. And that idea just gets translated down and you just hear these things. And it is so crazy how many of the things that were developed in archaeology that we would call well-known, you know, ideas and assumptions from the last 70, 80 years are just every year getting knocked down. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, we're shocked. Every year we're shocked.
Oh, yeah, we're shocked. Sorry, shocked.
Shocked.
Yeah.
Shocked. Horrified, and sometimes.
Do you ever get, like, kind of meta about it? And you're like, well, they were wrong, like, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. Like, what are we wrong about right now?
What are we wrong about?
We don't even know about, you know?
We're 100% wrong all the time.
All the time.
Like, it's interpretation. That's the whole point, isn't it? We just interpret what we think within our confines of our tiny pea brains. I think that's like it, isn't it, really? You know, you can't know everything because you weren't there.
Yeah, right. It's actually been cats that have been running everything since the Egyptians. So
I can totally believe that.
Yeah. No, it's it's one of those things. But anyway, sorry. So we haven't really talked about the article. But
well,
we've just
enough,
been on a rant about.
I know. I mean, we've talked about the basics of it. I mean, that's kind of kind of the idea behind this whole thing, right? Is I feel like expanding out on these a little bit in our thinking and just using the article as a jumping off point. So, but yeah, I mean, essentially in the article though, they did research and they found out through DNA that women just had a bigger influence because of mixing and things like that, and that's what they were saying. And then this article extrapolates that into, you know, women did everything and instead of just like kind of going the opposite direction they should and not landing in the middle. So, but anyway, yeah, it's all right. So any other thoughts and comments on this?
Final thoughts.
I do think indeed it's interesting that we've sort of shown that the sort of popular news article and in comparison to like the actual research behind it.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of a fun direction to go into.
I mean, we do it all the time on TAS. I love it because these popular news media sources just love to sensationalize things and
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. It's clicks, right? Like, they only get to continue on doing what they're doing if they get the clicks of people looking at their topics. So I get it. But I'm also like, I have to do it that way.
Yeah.
Well, that's like Archaeo Book Club as well. That was, I mean, we've stopped that one now, the podcast, but the book club itself is still going strong. And we look at basically how archaeology is represented in popular fiction. And it's also always the same that like archaeology is like the treasure hunters or like the sexy person off in the thing and all this. And it's just completely like misunderstood. And we were watching, was it Timeline, Ash? And where they were like, oh God, I need a radiocarbon date for this. And then they just like put it in the USB port and it just came up. And it's like,
she's like, these glasses are modern. No. You're like, what?
No.
This radiocarbon date is from the 70s. Like, how is his glasses still there? Yeah. You're like, ah. Also, glasses.
Like, oh my God.
Radiocarbon date in glasses.
And it's like, and
amazing.
It's from like the 90s as well, this film, which was,
it's funny. It's a brilliant film. I will have no one disparaging Timeline.
Oh my God. I love it
so much.
It's called Timeline.
Oh my! Yeah. You haven't seen Timeline?
No.
Oh my God!
I feel like I need to buy this.
Have you seen it? Jared Butler, Paul Walker, Billy Connolly.
Yeah.
Oh wow!
And Jared Billy Connolly, like a reenactor who enjoys doing.
He's a reenactor called what's his name? Adrian.
You know me and names.
He's called something really sexy, right, and obviously because he's meant to be the really sexy one.
Okay.
Surprisingly, Paul Walker isn't the really sexy one in this at all.
Yeah, that is surprising.
Yeah, it's very surprising. But you basically they go back to medieval France through this timeline jump. It's based on the book Timeline.
Timeline by Michael Crichton,
who did Jurassic Park.
I've read the book.
It's nothing like the book.
He hated the film.
It's very different from the book.
He truly hated the film. But basically he falls in love with a French princess. And then Billy Connolly's the archaeologist professor who goes back in time first, and Paul Walker's the like his American son who has like a lot of gumption. He's like, I gotta go get my dad. And he's like, okay, let's go.
They find some glasses in like a tomb that has been sealed and like since the 16th century, and they find the professor's glasses in there. So they're like,
oh my God, how are these glasses in here? These have prescription lenses.
Yeah, that's amazing. We have to watch this.
And then we have to watch National Treasure.
I still haven't seen National Treasure.
What?
Guys, we just turned Chris's literal favorite movie.
Nicolas Cage, to me, I think I've seen him in too many. I saw him in, what was it called? I can't remember now. With Kathleen Turner? No. Yes.
Hmm.
And they play like high school sweethearts, and he's a complete dickhead, basically. And he's like a nerd, but then he's a dickhead, and then he's this whole thing. And ever since watching that film, I just kind of, I don't know.
Oh, no, you're missing out on Nick Cage, though.
I'm sure he's a lovely guy, but just as an act, like, as his voice. His
he feels so weird.
Like, and I can't take him seriously as, like, an action hero. I'm like, no, dude, like.
We're not meant to take him seriously, I feel. I feel like he knows that as well.
Give it another chance, because he's good.
It's pretty funny.
Some of his movies he's really good in.
Not that this is the Nicolas Cage podcast anymore, but I did actually just see an article about him this morning. I guess he officially changed his name to Nick Cage last year, because that's not actually his name. Nicholas is his first name, but his last name is Coppola.
Oh, yeah, because he's part of the
Coppola. Because he's Francis Coppola's nephew.
But he wanted to go out on his own and do a thing, and he chose Cage as his last name because he liked comic books. And, you know, Cage was like a comic book last name. And so, in some cases. And he wanted, but now apparently after so many years, he's officially changed his name, like legally, to Nick Cage from Coppola.
Wow.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well then.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, Timeline is on our list.
Watch National Treasure. Before the next journal club, I will make sure to watch National Treasure.
I will be like,
because you'll just end up Chris will just end up talking about National Treasure and National Treasure 2 for the entire show.
So yes, you have to watch 2 as well.
Treasure your Discworld?
It might be.
Yeah.
It might be.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's his face. Oh my gosh. Like, we were in Philadelphia, like, going around to all the places in the movie.
So. Yes. From National Treasures,
too, I believe. Did you steal the Declaration of Independence?
We did not steal it. I took a picture of me doing the whole sliding the one down into my my jacket. Yeah.
The security guards there must be like, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you get, like, the one from the gift shop where he does it?
We were in the gift shop. That's what I did. Yeah. I was like, yeah. Yeah. I actually did that. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
So, anyway, that was in Washington, D.C.
Oh, that was D.C., wasn't it?
Yeah, where the declaration actually is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was good. It was good. It was fun stuff. All right. Well, this has been a good first episode of this, I think. It's nice and fun. That's what we want it to be, but educational as well. So hopefully those... How many are in the chat? Did we just end up with a couple here?
We lost a few. Oh,
well. Too much giggling. We lost a couple.
Yeah, it's just slut shaming, man. Just cut it out, man.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
For those who joined in live.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And Tilly, as our social media coordinator person extraordinaire, where was this advertised and where will it be advertised in the future?
It will be, well, it's always on. If you always go to the Discord channel, like the Discord server, you will always see upcoming live events. They'll be in the newsletter. They'll be on the website a lot of the time if I remember to send them to Ash in time to put them up on the website, which I'm sorry I didn't do this time. But in the future, I will. And they're on all our social media channels. So Instagram and Facebook and Blue Sky and Twitter.
Awesome.
Oh, X.
All right.
Sorry.
Oh, X, yes.
I feel like Musk will forgive you.
Well, when he listens to this show.
When he listens to this
number one show that he listens to.
Yeah. Obviously. When he re-accesses what is it called?
Indeed, though. Make sure to follow us on all social media and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can get regular updates.
Absolutely. And think about becoming a member.
And become a member. You can support
us.
Yes. And subscribe to their shows. The MI Trail and Tea Break Time Travel. Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. So.
Tea Break Archaeology. Yes,
Tea Break Archaeology.
Yeah. Sorry, Tea Break Archaeology. I'm still Tea Break Time
because
Travel.
I changed it because everyone said it was too difficult to remember Tea Break Time Travel. They were like, oh, I can't remember that whole longer name. And then everyone says Tea Break Time Travel.
It's for the SEO.
I
just love time travel. So I just want it to be that again. Yes.
And you still haven't seen Timeline. What?
Nope. Right, we're gonna go watch it right now.
It's a problem.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Thanks a lot, and we're gonna end the recording here. And again, for future episodes, try to find them on. I guess we'll tell you where they're gonna be, but we'll figure that out. So yeah. All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Archaeology Show. Feel free to comment and view the show notes on the website at www.arcpodnet.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at arcpodnet. Music for this show is called I Wish You Would Look from the band Sea Hero. Again, thanks for listening and have an awesome day. Thanks for listening to this podcast. The Archaeology Podcast Network's chief editor is Rachel Roden. Our executive producer is Ashley Airy. Our social media and newsletter coordinator is Matilda Siebrecht. The APN was founded by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle on December 1st, 2014. We're supported by our amazing podcast hosts, many volunteers, and listeners like you. Check out membership at www.arcpodnet.com/members.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.